you've decided to catch up on the Kennedy Molloy Drive Show.
And that makes you a winner.
This State of Origin, Carlton Dry are letting the game decide. If your team comes through with the goods,
you'll get the goods.
Will you win a Holden Colorado?
T's and C's at letthegamedecide.com.
Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Yep, and this episode promises to be an absolute behemoth. Strap yourself in, people. We'll start at the top. Jane Kennedy, is she Australia's biggest publicity whore?
Oh, thank you.
We will get to the bottom of a controversial... controversial new article.
That smack him in the eyes with that one, why don't you?
Yesterday.
All right. Is Mick Molloy Australia's answer to Roseanne?
Wow.
How dare you?
Could be. We'll discuss that.
I will sue you. That is off the charts. We'll mention Roseanne, no doubt.
Yeah.
Hard to be Joyce.
Okay.
How low can you go?
Listen, the promo's out. You will not believe what you're going to hear in these promos.
We'll play you the promo. We'll discuss it. We may even throw the lines open to get your opinion.
Yes, we will.
Merv Hughes is on the show.
That's awesome. Swerving I haven't seen Merv for years.
You'll love it. He's in here to talk all things cricket.
Fantastic.
We might play him the brand new jingle. Well, is it brand new or isn't it?
A remake that Mojo created years ago for Come On Aussie.
To promote cricket. We'll get to the bottom of that.
Yes, we will. We've got Malcolm Turnbull on the show, which is great timing.
That generally means Lawrence Mooney's not far away.
Generally does mean that.
Mick Coyne, we're going to drop a few more today.
Ding, ding, ding. And also, I watched Shark Tank last night.
Did you?
Yes, and I am using one of the products. I'm currently wearing one of the products.
All right, if you think you know, ring in.
And great inventions.
Sure. Well, we'll discuss great inventions. Yeah. I've got a couple.
Have you?
That I think could win Shark Tank.
Really?
I really do. Have you thrown someone under the bus? That will come up. All these topics and much, much more on today's show.
Okay.
But let's start with the
you don't have to look disgusted
so
by
it. So an article came out, and it's out today.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Oh, hi, Dave. Yeah, I don't suck up to Dave.
Oh, no. Sorry. You see, I'm a woman of the people, not like you.
Oh, are you?
We'll discuss that in a minute.
Well, we will. Don't you worry about that. So this is a magazine primarily launched in our Melbourne office. It's called The Weekly Review. You can see this nationally online. Oh, I'm guessing you're probably promoting yourself again shamelessly on your own Instagram site.
No, I have not put it on my own Instagram site. That would be very
This article is a dagger in the heart.
I beg your pardon.
To me and the show.
To you?
This is the most self-serving thing I've ever seen. Have a look at this, Dave. Massive picture of Jane.
Great photo, by the way.
Well, see, there's two good photos, and it makes me think, hello, these have been airbrushed.
Oh. I insisted upon it. I say, I'm one of the few birds who doesn't have a head full of Botox, so that is what photoshopping's for.
So you get it done after the fact.
Correct.
So
there you are
on the cover.
Yeah, all right.
How would you describe that?
Like slutty?
Oh, no, it's not. What's wrong with you? A bit, don't backchat me, son, or I'll
cut you
down to size.
I look exhausted, and I'm using a wall to hold myself up.
And then I flip open to the two-page double spread article. Mm. There's another picture of you looking
like a
kind of demented Steven Tyler or something from Aerosmith. With
what?
I don't know what's with your stupid rock and roll
outfit. Rock and roll outfit. Oh, I'm taking that as a compliment.
You are off the chart. So I read the article. Well, firstly, when did this happen?
I'm in demand and I say no to a lot of things. What do you expect?
The show's called Kennedy Molloy.
Yeah.
Molloy being, hello.
Do I not mention you?
Well, was I ever asked to be part of the show?
It wasn't about you. It was about me for a change.
But who goes solo on that stuff?
Well.
Did you say, can Mick come along?
Of course I didn't.
Well, no, you didn't.
Of Of course I did.
Hey, have a list. When I say come along, have a listen to the opening line. Yeah. Did you get a
mention? Did I get a mention?
You don't get a mention in this.
I haven't read it, to be honest. No. I don't know.
I don't get a mention. Well, I do, but it's rather condescending. Dave, you don't get mentioned at all.
It's probably the second time, actually. I mean, remember?
You've got mentioned. Yeah. No, it's probably better she didn't mention you, Dave. What happened the last time she mentioned you?
Remember March 1, Media Week magazine came out when you did your week of long lunches? The quote was, Kennedy, Dave was at the top of the list for us to work with us on the show. He's a great guy, but we really don't think it's right for him to join us at the lunch.
Wow.
Hey, okay, well, there's your man of the people.
Earn your stripes.
I'm lucky you signed with... So he doesn't even get a mention in the entire article.
Well, sometimes about me.
I get a one mention. Oh, Mick and I, how'd the show come about? Mick and I were at a charity lunch together. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was one too many Negronis. when I'd agreed to work with Mick. Oh, thanks, Jane.
I only speak the truth.
It's hardly a ringing endorsement, is it?
I don't have to get so cranky. Can't you be happy for my success?
No. No, I was so upset when I was reading this on the toot. Look at this. Look at your opening line. Here's the opening line under the headline, Triple Treat. Jane Kennedy is running late for our interview.
Well, that's
opening line.
That's unfortunate.
That reflects poorly on all of us.
I'm very sorry. That was embarrassing, but I had been somewhere with my children.
Oh, well.
Oh, do they mention my kids?
They
is that do. How much I love them clearly, and that I put them before everything?
You clearly weren't running late because you'd been doing your makeup. Look at this. Have a look at this. This Hang is on. The kids. Oh, do I mention the kids?
Yes, I must.
Look how you jam this in.
Okay.
This reads like a press release. I really feel very lucky that I had the opportunity to be pretty much a full-time mum for nearly 17 years, says Kennedy, who has five children with Sitch, including twin boys, their youngest who are in their final year of primary school. Yep. Even now, you get the feeling it's the role she's most proud of and one she was a little reluctant to let go of.
Woohoo! Thank you.
Did your pants catch fire when you gave that quote?
No.
I've seen you sit at this office for hours after a
you
show
have
pretending
not.
To be working
that's
that late
rubbish.
Rather than go back
How
and face the music.
How dare you say that? That is not
you
true.
Know that's true.
I am always down the supermarket.
Sit down here draining
shopping.
A bottle of Chardonnay.
Oh, right.
Going, I just
As
can't.
If. You shut up. Now, hey, don't you get too big for your boots.
What are you talking about? I haven't done. I'm not done yet.
Oh, what?
What about
what
this one? She says she's determined to one day do a TV show where I just wear mascara and I pull my hair in a ponytail and wear a black suit.
Yeah.
Though she can see people can't cope with that, with watching women not dressed up properly.
I was asked, what's your...
Can I suggest it's not the time in your career arc to be trying that? It's a great idea. Am I right, Dave?
Yeah.
You know what? You're beautiful. You can get away with anything, and we love you. But you should have.
Don't you suck up to me now.
Good article.
Know.
Go and get it.
Don't worry.
Have a look at Australians Kardashian. Yep. The Australian.
Oh, listen,
the Australian
one
Kardashian.
Give me one cover.
It's needy and it's self-serving.
There's another one coming out on Sunday.
Without me.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Okay, Jane. You
look,
go.
This is
Roseanne,
hot stuff. Can we just hear the theme?
Probably the biggest story in the world right now.
So I was only watching
the biggest
the other
showbiz
night,
story, I meant to say.
And, God, I was really I was actually saying I slapped my thigh laughing at this show and have. I've been watching the reruns. Yeah. I've been watching the new episodes.
So same. And this is why this is such a disgrace. The show's been taken off. We'll go into the details in a minute. Yep. But why it's so terrible is because you're right. It's a very, very good show.
Mm.
Especially for a sitcom, it's about battlers. It resonates throughout America. It's very funny and surprisingly sweet.
It is,
and
isn't
has great storylines for a notoriously difficult. You know, sitcoms struggle to
the writers
put
are
any
really
meat
good
on the
on
bone,
this show,
and it is. It's a really good show, and it's a shame that it has to go, but. ABC, the network, have made the right call here, I would suggest.
All right, and the reason is, if you haven't heard the news, Roseanne's show has been axed. They were going into pre-production for the second series of the Rejuvenation of the new series. It had been rating really well. It was very successful. In fact, she was the network's most valuable star at the moment.
Yep.
But she put out a tweet, and it's not good. A racist tweet. About a former top aide to President Obama, Valerie Jarrett, who's black. And she put out this tweet. Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby.
Referring to this woman.
Referring to this woman.
Yeah, well, that's just terrible.
Immediately, people call her out on it. And we're absolutely disgusted, including cast members of the show.
The same show.
Of the same show.
Yeah.
Including Sarah Gilbert, who plays Darlene, has returned to the show. Also on The View, like she's quite a vocal chick now. Yeah, and she said, this is an opinion of one person, not the show. So as a result, the head of the ABC has just said, no, we're not going to play. We're not going to play ball with that.
And it's quite a significant decision by a network who honestly don't have a great track record when it comes to separating morals and the right thing to do and money, as this was a big cash cow for the network.
That's
and
correct.
It was they were already in pre-production for the second series, and they've made the right call because that behaviour and the sentiment attached to that is clearly racist and not on.
And not acceptable, and I'm glad we're living in a day and age now where people go, well, call her out on it.
Absolutely.
Bang, decision made, and that was by the ABC Entertainment president, Channing Dungey. Also, it's been reciprocated in Australia because Network 10 has also said, nope, we're taking it off Channel 11. We're taking the new episodes off on Monday nights as well on Channel 10.
She's got a track record in this department. She's been quite controversial on occasion. She's never gone quite to this length. She's clearly a Trump supporter, which is nothing wrong with that. That's her,
that's her
perfect
thing.
Right. But she's crossed a line here. She angered probably the same group of people who are now so in her corner.
Yes.
When she once did the American National Anthem at the baseball and she was howled down. I've got a grab here. Becoming a controversial figure.
She is, and she's been, she's blaming all sorts of things. She's apologised, but there's this rant of about 20 tweets that she's done. She says, I apologise, I'm now leaving Twitter.
Yep.
Then she decides against that. She then goes on to say, I apologise to Valerie Jarrett. I don't know if you saw it. I want to apologise. I'm truly sorry. My whole life has been about fighting racism. I made a terrible mistake, which caused hundreds of people to lose their jobs.
Which
so
is
sorry.
True. Well, that is sad. Well, there's a lot of good people who have lost their jobs.
There really are. Some people are even calling up for the show to continue with Jackie as the lead.
And sadly, in what shows you what is going on in America at the moment, it's not universal condemnation, of course. There's a couple,
she has loads of supporters.
Loads of supporters who think what she said was okay.
And think it's a knee-jerk reaction. But now she also says, I think Joe Rogan is right about Ambien. Not giving excuses for what I did or tweeted, but I've done weird stuff while on Ambien, cracked eggs against the wall at 2 a.m., etc.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I don't care if you're on Ambien. She knows what she's doing.
Who's had their show taken off air, I identify with this on a number of occasions.
That has occurred.
What do you mean?
Well,
my first one was.
Why were your shows taken off?
My show's taken off air. The first one, it was the Mick Malloy show. Do you know where it was reported that I urinated on the set?
Well, see, that is. Really? I know for a fact.
That he urinated on his own set.
You pretended to urinate.
It was a sketch. It was a sketch on the show where I urinated. I can't believe I got this show, given how the pilot went through to a sketch where during the pilot I turned up drunk and urinated. Said it was actually reported that I had the next day. I think the chief TV writer from the Herald Sun went, I can't believe it. He's turned up and urinated on his own set.
Without watching the episode, of course.
And then everyone else has written letters rang up the station. So that was that. I remember Doug Mulray.
Yes.
Got taken off air.
I think Carrie Packer was actually watching the show.
It was the naughtiest home video shows. And halfway through, it was automatically replaced by an episode of The Love Boat. That's when you know you're in trouble.
Yeah. Other shows.
The Chaser. I don't know they were taken off air. I think they came to an arrangement with the ABC after a controversial sketch about cancer kids, which again, a lot of people who got upset about that didn't actually see it.
And it was satirical and it was making a point that people didn't understand. People hadn't seen it.
What annoys me is that's the type of thing if you like or you don't, you can just don't watch or don't overreact. This is different. Roseanne is different because she's crossed a line that she knew was there and everyone is completely in our industry is told
it's flat not chat, cool.
You are not to go.
Not cool.
This is a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Yep.
Don't go near the line.
Exactly.
And we all understand the rules.
So
was Graham Kennedy, did he get taken?
Oh, Graham Kennedy did the famous crow
call.
Crow calls.
Can I do it now? Can we do it? We don't have it. Can I do it live?
Yeah, you can give it a crack.
No, our producers are waving it off.
Oh, no, they're getting it wrong.
You look it up.
But it was. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people grew up with that, knowing that. And he was, bang, taken straight off air.
Anyway, terrible day. I'm sorry because it was a good show.
It was a good show, but I'm really, you know, this is how we play things now. Someone's taken a stand.
Yep.
Done.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
I thought that I wouldn't be speaking about Barnaby Joyce and Vicky Campion in this time because I thought after they'd had the baby, everybody except just went, all right, and then everyone left them alone.
Yep.
According to Barnaby, though, they've had drones and they've had paparazzi outside their
They were
house.
Driven to demand $150,000 for an interview on Channel 7 this week
but
on the Sunday program.
Crazy that he did. You know how ages ago when he said, look, I don't even know if the baby's mine.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's really throwing Vicky under the bus, isn't it?
Well, he's thrown her under the bus on a number of occasions, and he's done it again today by saying, not my call. Vicky decided.
Vicky wanted to do
the
story.
She decided she wanted to do the interview. I have nothing to do with it. So
that appalls me. I'm sorry. I cannot deal with that.
To bad character. And yes, he doesn't have a good track record with her.
Look, the promos have started on air.
Yep.
Do you want to hear
what's
going to go on?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's have a listen.
Their illicit love affair rocked Australia.
Everything was worth it for this.
Now, Vicky Campion comes clean.
I couldn't help it. We can't help but you fall in love with it.
I failed. I failed. I failed. I failed. I failed.
The people who tried to stop this baby being born.
Political pressure. They said if you don't, they're going to come after you.
They did.
Meet her little baby at the centre of it all.
I would do anything to protect him.
I hope that little baby's going to get a share of the 150 grand.
Well, I think that's
going
the story.
Three ways, isn't it?
Well, what about the line, though, I would do anything to protect him, and including put a six-week-old baby and feature him on a tell-all.
I'm guessing you're not a fan of this idea, this whole interview.
I'm not a fan of this idea, and I'm just wondering, you know, it just flashed before my eyes, just in case they were driving around, and what if Vicky's listening to us now? And I know she's probably thought, and she's saying out loud, look, I've copped it, and it's been really hard. They've implied that people suggested that they, in fact, not keep the baby. That's a very, very dramatic and serious allegation in which they're apparently going to talk about. And I went, really? People would suggest that?
Oh, I don't know if that's on the table.
I don't know.
Or ever has been. Do you know, Barnaby Joyce is, and what offends me, I don't really care to watch this interview because I'm not that interested myself. I'm more interested that he's a public servant and he's a sitting member of Parliament and he's charging money for interviews. I think that sets a terrible precedent and tone. I've also noticed he's gone on leave and I have to answer the question, I hope it's not paid leave.
Well, how tell do we know
not,
that? I
tell
know.
Tell me he's not getting $150,000 for an interview and getting 11 weeks paid leave.
How many people would want to have 11 weeks off
who
now? He's 11, under a bit of stress.
Who gets 11 weeks off because they've
decided? I don't understand.
He doesn't have to come back till Parliament sits next time or something. 11
someone
weeks
might be able to help us
can
with
someone
that.
Find out if that's paid, I'm going to go berserk.
I think that would be outrageous. But look, we're talking about being thrown under the bus.
That's what he's done, and you alluded to it. Twice now he's thrown her under the bus. Firstly, he said, don't even know if I'm the father.
Wow.
He questioned the paternity.
Wow.
And that our jaws all dropped. Now he's going, well, not my idea to do it. It's a classic. He's distanced himself and put his young partner and thrown her completely under the bus. And I think it's one of the best I've ever seen. I'm putting it out there to all our listeners, 133353. Have you?
Ever
or can you think of a bigger thrown under the bus?
You were telling me one day that you were, remember the story about a mate of yours?
This is a true story, sadly. A mate of mine who was unfaithful to his partner got busted. I'm going back 20 years now. Mm. So,
do I know who it is?
All my friends don't need to start.
My ears are pricked up.
So, no, this is about 20 years ago, and a friend of mine was unfaithful, and he got busted because as the girl was leaving the house, his girlfriend, partner at the time, was out the front. And so he made up this story on the spot. He goes, when she comes, he goes, who the hell was that? He goes, Mick stayed the night and he had a girl with him, but he'd already left.
Oh.
Rang me up and said, my girlfriend's going to call. This is what happened.
Okay.
So she calls me around. I have to go around to the house. And she goes, did this happen? Did you spend a night here last night? And did you have
have
a girl with you? And I had to go, yep. And while I'm doing that, my friend's going, jeez.
Oh, no.
Come on, judgy.
You've got to do better than that.
I've had that happen.
That has been thrown under the bus by your mate.
My father threw me under the bus when I was 14 years old.
Your own dad.
My
Ray
own
Kennedy.
Dad. My mum came to dad and she said, Ray, I think one of the girls has been smoking.
Right.
Dad goes, what those brats? Which one? I think it's Janie. Why? And mum said, I found a cigarette butt in our ensuite bathroom toilet. And he goes, oh, don't worry. You know, well, I'll have a word to her. And mum said, no, I'll talk to her. Mum walks in and says, Janie, have you been smoking? And I go, nah. And she goes, well, we found a cigarette butt in the toilet. Your father thinks it might be. I go, wasn't me. It was him. He's lying to you.
Oh, you've thrown him under the bus.
Well, that's fair enough.
It's a double throw.
When a grown-up's
he's throwing you under the bus.
Your 14-year-old daughter.
You've thrown him back under the bus.
I have. It's the double whammy. Hey,
Dave,
have
you've been
had
doing
it?
This all your life. We'll get to you in a minute.
Sure.
133353. But if you have or you can think of it,
yeah,
give us a call.
Your new way to drive home.
Malloy. Been thrown under the bus, 1333.
That is, it's all in honour of Barnaby Joyce, who's thrown his partner under the bus twice in our memory.
Possibly could be more.
Claiming, astonishingly, that he mightn't be the father of his own child at one stage, and now maintaining he knew nothing about it, wasn't his decision to
sell and do this interview. It was her decision.
Asked for $150,000 for a paid interview on Channel 7 this Sunday night. Look on if you dare. And that's where we're at. We thought we'll ask people. We're trying to get to the bottom of if it's paid leave. He's taking 11 weeks off in Parliament. If
anybody
paid
knows
leave,
for sure, if anybody has, works in the industry, you
I'm
going to
go cocoa bananas if that is the case, because he is just rorting the till.
Sure.
We're asking, who's you thrown under the bus? And we'll start off with a cracker. Jared, who threw who under the bus?
Warnie threw his mum under the bus.
That's right. Yes.
Now, hang on.
Take us back.
As a friend of Shane Warne's, I need to suggest there might be some truth to this.
Well, but
let's hear. I think publicly you could say that was the sentiment at the time. What did he do?
He blamed his mum for the diuretic pill that got him banned for a year.
That's right. Well, you know, maybe
if your mum can't take a bullet for you, I mean, what else are they good
Lord
for?
Lord knows I'm strapping myself in, ready
you,
for
have
it.
Have you ever taken a bullet for any children?
I've taken a few bullets one quite recently.
But okay, but we won't go to air with
one.
That. Well
and
done,
Shane, that's
Jared.
Good. Dan?
Yeah, hey, how are you?
Who threw who under the bus?
Well, I'm not sure that I actually threw my mate under the bus, but some people would say I would.
Yeah, what was it?
I'd lent him my car and he used it to do something illegal, and the cops had turned up at my place that afternoon looking for me and requested to come to the station for an interview.
Yes.
So I've rung him and said, you know, what am I meant to say? I'm not getting done for this. I'm on parole myself. I'll go to jail.
House of cards, this one.
And he goes to me, well, you know, I don't know, man, say it got stolen or say you sold it to me or something. And I said, oh, you know, they know that it was, you know, somebody that was around and that. And I said, he goes, oh, tell him that I sold it to him.
Great. We get the idea.
Thank you, Dan. Not sure where that's going to head.
We didn't want to get into any trouble there.
I think Dan
was sailing pretty close to the wind.
Yep.
He threw his mate under the bus because his mate took his car. And obviously, when he says illegal things, I'm guessing it was a bit of hooning, not like knocking over a 7-Eleven or anything.
No, wouldn't
be a Kennedy absolutely lawyer, not. Luke, who threw who under the bus?
My dad threw me under the bus.
How did he do that?
So he had a new property that we were trying to clear all the grass and weeds off before he built the house.
Yep.
And it had been 40 degrees for like a week and there'd been one day of rain. And he's like, oh, green grass won't burn. Just burn that tumbleweed for us.
Yep.
So I lit it and set 3 acres on fire. And when the fire brigade turned up, they're like, oh, you know, it's a no fire. It's $5,000 a truck unless this was accidental. And he said, oh, can you just tell them that you threw your cigarette butt on the ground and then accidentally set the property on fire?
Okay, well, I can't really hear what you're saying there, Luke, but I think it was your dad threw you under the bus by claiming that you started
a fire, that it was an accident.
It was an accident when he told you to do it. Well done, Luke. Liam, who threw her under the bus, mate?
I threw my partner well and truly under the bus.
How'd you do it?
We started going to the gym, and this bloke kept coming over talking to us that I'd worked with at some point. And for the life of me, I could not remember the guy's name.
Yeah.
So I said to the missus, I was like, can you just do me a favour and just, like, introduce yourself? So,
good one.
You know, he'll say his name.
Yes.
So he's turned around, just go, oh, yeah, hi, I'm Jess, sorry, what was your name? And he goes, oh, I'm Ryan. And I've turned around and gone, oh, I don't know, mate. I've told her about three times.
Oh,
I can't take her anywhere.
Liam.
And she turned around and she's like, well, that's it. I'm never helping you ever again.
I'll tell you a quick one, Liam, which I did here when I was doing another radio show. I think it was Mark Molloy. And let's just say we had a very famous Australian female singer
who was a
friend of mine at the time who wanted to come on the program. And for reasons of my own at the time, we didn't want to interview her.
On the program. Yeah.
So I got them to
say no.
You know, come up with a reason why we couldn't do it. Anyway, when she turned up to be interviewed by someone else, she was knocking on the studio door, and I said hi. She goes, "Mick, we tried to get on the show, and they said we couldn't get on." And I went, "I beg your pardon," and got my producer Sansia Robinson. I remember this. So I said, "Sansia, get in here."
Oh no,
Sansia. What's this I'm hearing about not being able on the show? And she knew full well because it was her who had to deal with it. She goes, "Ah, that's right, Mick. Sorry, I've made a big mistake." I said, "How dare you, Sansia? This reflects poorly on all of us. I'm so sorry this
had
to happen."
She took the fall.
She
got a big bunch of flowers the next day from Mickey.
Sans. Hey, thanks for your calls, everyone.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Coming up, the Prime Minister and Lawrence Mooney, but right now.
Merv Hughes' bowling was fierce.
His glare even fiercer.
And with a nickname like Fruit Fly,
Australia's greatest national pest,
he didn't mind getting in your face.
He's gone right up to him, boy. That's eyeball to eyeball stuff. Okay, Merv, settle down a bit.
But what we love most is Merv's sense of humour. So when he got a batsman out who said he looked like a fat bus driver, there was only one response.
And all I did when I went past, me just flicked the hand out the side and said, "Tickets, please, darling."
Oh, and he played Ivan the Lat in the Fat Pizza movie.
Four little backpacks sitting on the wall. One little backpacker should accidentally get slaughtered, there'd be three little backpackers.
That's you, the backpackers, one top song.
Now, the man with the most memorable mo in Australia is turning it pink to help raise money for the Priceline Sisterhood Foundation. Please welcome Merv Hughes.
Big man. Merv, how are you, buddy?
I'm going very well.
Good to see
very
you well. Again. There's so much more that was left out, but I think we covered the big ones in there.
That we can play.
Don't you think?
Hey, Merv, we're really excited to have you today, and it's for a really great reason. You're here it's for the sisterhood, but you're the first mister of the sisterhood for Priceline, who have got a great charity going. Can you fill us in a little bit on this?
So during the month of June, Priceline Pharmacies raise money for women's charities.
Yep.
And as soon as you say sisterhood, I reckon 100% of males in Australia switch off. Would that be right?
What did you say, Merv?
Exactly. So,
and the other, sorry, Merv, the other sisters have been Ida Buttrose, Ada Nicodumi, and Samantha Harris and Elise Perry.
Top shelf.
So what they've done over the 8 years now that's been going has been fantastic. Yep. But they want to be more inclusive, and they want to get a blokey Australian. So tick that box. And when they explained it to me, just to encourage men to support their women in their lives. Very, very much involved.
It's a great move and good on you. And we got all the details out.
Yes, from next week, from next Wednesday, Merv, believe it or not, is going to be visiting Priceline Pharmacies.
What?
Yes. And he's going to be wearing a beauty advisor uniform.
And helping out with beauty tips.
Wow, I got to stand behind you like in Bay 13 and mimic.
Good on you for doing it. You're a good sport and a great ambassador.
Encouraging everyone to come into pharmacy, Priceline Pharmacies, and buy a $2 scratchy with a 1 in 5 chance of winning, and all that money is going to the 5 charities that they support.
Fantastic.
So
well
it's a great cause.
Now, that's not the only. You're famous for your work in the community, and you've done it often. And one of my favourites was your very famous walk you did, which was brought to my attention, Merv, by Beefy in Botham and Bumble.
Well, put it in context. Beefy walks miles, so he walks a thousand miles in England. AB walked from Brisbane to Sydney. Yes. Booney walked from Melbourne to Davenport because he walks on water. Yeah. He's very good. Dino walked from Melbourne to Sydney. So
let's have a look. Listen to them covering in the commentary box during a game. An exciting walk you undertook.
He's arriving soon, Bumble. Louis, Australia's biggest pest. Nerf Hughes, Hercules transporter. I've heard they're springing him in.
I've got a story for you. How many walks have you done?
15, I think.
Yeah, and I know you've done one like John O'Groats to Land's End. That's a fair way. How many miles is that?
1,000, give or take.
And you know, we're talking big miles. You know what Merv did? You know his walk, his charity walk. He did one. I'm sure he was taking the mickey out of you. He's done a charity walk from Melbourne Railway Station to the MCG, which is about a quarter of a mile. He had all these people with him, thousands of people behind him, or doing a charity walk. Where are you walking? I thought he's going to be walking like Melbourne to Sydney. But no, he said, I'm going from the station to the G.
That is gold.
Yeah, I don't mind Covenant from Beefy, but Covenant from Bumble, that's a bit rich, isn't it?
Seriously. That's a bit beyond the pale.
And he had lots of followers behind
you. Did.
Yeah, that was a big day.
It was a big day.
Well, people have always loved following you.
It was initially from Cricket Victoria at the time to encourage people to get the third day of the test match because Australia were playing England, and by the third day, the game's normally over, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Now, let's get to a couple of big ones. Ball tampering. You were there. You were in South Africa. When did you know something was awry, amiss?
Well, I'd actually been out with a couple of my teammates from many years ago. Right. I won't name any names, BJ, Shane, Warren, Nolan Broder. I got to about the lunch break and I thought, I really need to sleep. So I went back to the hotel and it was actually better for me being at the hotel because I watched it unfold on television.
You saw it real time.
You're sort of sitting there in disbelief thinking, what the hell's going on? To be watching it on TV and understood it. And when they went through the investigation and everything, I suppose it highlights the pressures of top-line sport where after one loss, after being very, very good against England, that first test against South Africa, they have one loss. And to me, for them to think that they had to resort to that,
That's right.
It was very disappointing.
That's what's so strange because it's such a great bowling lineup.
Yes.
It's not like you've got a bunch of donkeys out there who need every bit of help they can get. Mm. You could attest to this, no-names. This kind of thing has been going on in a more complex way for a long time. This was just brazen.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, that the ICC virtually gave them a slap on the wrist. And in the past, it's happened to players from other countries.
Yes.
And the country's boards just accept those punishments. And Cricket Australia, the sanction that the ICC imposed on the players was never going to be their problem.
Yeah.
It was always going to be the sanction that Cricket Australia imposed. And they came down heavily. And, you know, a lot of people say it's only 1 year, but 12 months for guys in their prime, Warner and Smith, and Bancroft just starting his career. 12 months is a hell of a long time. Imagine an AFL footballer getting 12 months.
Well, that's a big chunk of their career when the average career is four or 5 years. And we only remember, too, at test level, there's only a handful who play over 20 tests like yourself and upwards. It's tough. Can you hang around? We want to talk to you about the change of commentary teams from 9 to 7 and a new jingle.
I'm available, Nick. I'm available.
Well, we're all available thanks to Triple M and Cricket Australia.
We're available.
Putting your hands up.
There's a new jingle out too, you know, come on Aussie, come on.
Yeah.
Updated version by Mojo, by
really?
The
we want to play it to
we're
you.
We're going to play it to you.
And get your thoughts after this.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Merv Hughes is with us. By the way, Merv and Mr. Hood for the Sisterhood are going to reach a $1 million goal. Visit Priceline Pharmacy Store from next Wednesday and purchase a $2 scratchy.
And the fishing show. You've got a fishing show, Merv, and I love a fishing show. Jane loves a fishing show.
I do. It's called Merv Hughes Fishing, fourth season.
Jesus,
on 1HD if you want to check it out on
involved.
Saturdays.
So do you know where I'd be going? Darwin all the time. You can't miss out.
Just come back from Darwin.
Have you?
Do you get
a bit of barramundi?
Well, fish the Barra Classic, and the goal is to get barramundi. We're fairly unsuccessful in the competition, finishing 56th out of 57.
Oh, good effort.
Yeah. Good effort. Merv, I like your style. Now, listen, we need to talk about the change of cricket commentary. The Sound of Summer has been Channel 9 for so long in TV. It's going to be A big change to the Seven Network. I'm not saying it's not. I think a little freshen up, a little cuddle might be on the cards. Yeah, but how do you feel about it?
It's going to be sad to see all those guys go. So Ian Chappell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bill Laurie, those guys. So Bill Wally retired.
I can't imagine hearing someone without them.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see who they get in. And obviously they've got some names that have been touted around and they've contracted down. So, yeah, just a bit of a freshen up.
Who are you commentating for, Merv?
Triple M.
We're very angry in here, but they couldn't arrive at a deal.
So I'm Channel 7, I'm available.
And Foxtel, you're available.
I've got a bit of free time. And
I would have thought you'd be a shoe-in for Channel 7.
If you want a bit of eye candy for the ladies, give me a call.
We need some more moustache on the commentary team.
As we
do in the cricket team these days, that's the difference between modern era, old era, is the amount of facial hair, I think, that we need to get going. There's an old jingle.
Yes.
Come on, Aussie, come on. Oh. And it's. Can we have a listen to the old one? Lily's pounding. We remember this famously, man. Pascal's making divots in the green. Yeah. Marsh's taking wickets. Hooksy's clearing pickets. And the Chappell's eyes have got that killer glee. And so you get it.
Yes.
There it is, the great chorus, chorus. Well, they've done a revamp, Merv. So I think as part of the relaunch, the big fresh face, and we've overcome all our troubles. So I just wanted to get your opinion on this, if this resonates for you.
If you're a cricket tragic, get ready for some magic. When Australia shows the cricket world we're back. Get ready for the passion, the excitement and the action. We've got a lot to prove, and that's a fact. Lyon has the batsman in a spin. Hazelwood and Stark are steaming in. Payne is keeping wicket. Good night if you snicker. And the brothers Marsh are both on fire again. Khawaja has got his mojo back. Renshaw, he's our gritty opening bat.
There we go.
Burns is looking feisty. Hands can fill in nicely, and coming as fast and fearsome in attack.
There it is.
That's by the original singer.
Do you know what it is? It's a goosebump theme, isn't it? As soon as it brings you back, it takes you back to a golden era of Australian cricket. A bit of pressure on some of those names there to stay in the team.
Especially
the Marsh brothers.
Mitch Marsh has had his trouble with injuries, but they're right. It's a really big year for Australia without Warner and Smith. It's time for Khawaja and Sean Marsh to stand up
and for a few of them to pencil themselves in.
If those two don't stand up, we're not going to get runs on the board. And if we don't get runs on the board, it doesn't matter how good our attack is against India, we're going to struggle.
It doesn't matter how good our songs are.
Great song, though.
Not only one of the great characters of the game, also one of the best commentators going around. Always got great cricket instincts. Yeah, you are. Seven will be on. I'll put in a word for you over
Thanks, Merv. And don't forget to support Merv and the Misterhood for Sisterhood. Yeah. Reach their million-dollar goal. Go into Priceline, get a scratchy.
All right, up next, it's the PM.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Molloy.
And this hour is off chops. Officially.
Really?
Coming in very soon. Lawrence Mooney will join us. I can't wait.
Either can I. I'm going to talk Shark Tank.
You're going to talk Shark Tank. And then we're going to throw it open to our listeners.
We might have inventors out there.
Have you got an invention that was worth $1 million? I'm going to throw a couple on the table.
Yeah.
Write this down. Don't steal my ideas. Copyright Mick Molloy.
Yeah, well, you won't be able to copyright many
Mick
of them.
Coin. Well, there's one of my great ideas.
What a genius idea.
Cryptocurrency. That's $1 million. One coin. I'll give you one coin.
Yeah. We better do that. We're going to take your calls.
Take your tweets. But first, let's check in with the big fella, the big kahuna, the number one cheese, the man.
The king of the hill, the top of the heap.
Here he comes.
The French brie.
I'm the Tower of Pisa.
It's the PM, Malcolm Turnbull.
Good on you. Thank you very much. Can I contribute my $1 million idea?
Because
I'm independently wealthy.
Yep.
I think that Qantas should have an online casino called the Frequent Flyer Casino, where you can gamble points. Wow. You know, their points debt is worth $11 billion globally. And you know what? Blokes would just gamble it all away
on a
long every night.
Flight,
that's right.
You could get kicked off in Dubai because you now owe them money.
But House always wins, and so the Frequent Flyer Casino put it all on
right. You've thought about this, right, haven't you?
Absolutely. And Lawrence Moody tried to sell the idea to Qantas, and they didn't want it.
Well, Mr. Turnbull, you've got a little... Well, not a little. You've got a bit of beard growing.
I've got a bit of growth going, yes.
Is it Prime Ministerial stubble?
Lucy like it?
Lucy loves it. Lucy loves a bit of... I was going to say rough trade, but I think that's the wrong phrase.
I just realised what I was saying.
Now, you're leading him into deep water.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And you should
that was a
better.
Question without notice.
Let's
move
back
on to the
on
Dorothy
track.
Dixer show.
Barnaby, he's bobbed up like something that just won't flush this
now,
week.
Now, Michael, that is an obtuse what? Reference to Barnaby as if he's some kind of human waste. If you're trying to say he's a turd, you're right. He's awful. In all fairness to the beetrooter, though, I mean, 150K. He's
not
thrown
right.
his wife under the bus again.
He's
well,
thrown
everyone
his wife
and
under
his
the bus.
Partner. He's thrown everyone under the bus.
No,
again.
His partner, that's what I meant, Vicky Campion.
Yes.
Because first of all, he alluded to the fact the baby might not be his.
Yeah.
Which is an outrageous thing,
Sebastian
considering
Joyce.
It is his baby.
Sure. Mm.
Sebastian Joyce, I hope he's a novelist, because that is an awful name.
And
then Vicky Campion. No, you're not going
Sebastian
to
Sebastian Joyce, do you know what he'll be? He'll either be a novelist or an opening bowler for the West Indies.
That's right. Sebastian Joyce steaming in from the Kingston end. Is that a doobie hanging out of his lips? He looks just like his father. Now,
what's going on there? Barnaby, what do we need to know about Barnaby?
Barnaby, well, he's a terrible man.
By the way, can
Barnabas.
I just before you go on, I just want to say we've had this confirmed by his office that he's 11 weeks off is paid.
But I don't understand
he's
that.
He's taking 11 weeks.
It's personal
what
leave.
Reason? Personal leave. You're
it's
allowed
not
to do that
leave.
As a politician.
Absolutely.
You're allowed to do that.
And what's more, the Labor Party have okayed it by giving him a pair in the Parliament, which
they
means
have indeed, yes.
when they vote, his vote won't actually disadvantage
He needs
his
a pair.
But, you know,
that's what got him in
well,
trouble in the first
pair.
Place.
The interesting thing about, you know, Barnaby going to the Sunday program to be paid $150,000
yes.
is, well, hopefully it's an incisive political interview. I mean, the Sunday program, you're probably fans of it here, are you?
I like Mel Doyle a lot. She's a friend
did you watch
of
it last week?
I'm kind of partial to the Seven Network.
I saw Jackie Lambie.
Jackie Lambie was on it. I mean, and what an incisive political interview that was. She was at a adult sex toys party. There was all sorts of polymers and rubber, throbbing, whirring, gyrating, pulsating phalluses of all shapes and sizes. I mean, they take their politics very seriously over there at Seven. So I'm looking forward to the interview.
Well, that's what it's all about.
Have you got
about.
Some Benoit balls, Barnaby?
All right, Mr. Turnbull. I was going to say there was a protest outside your Point Paper home.
I know.
What was all that all about?
Well, they were protesting, Jane, about the Adani coal mine.
Oh, right.
And I think that, well, if
Fair
God,
call too, by the
if
way.
God didn't intend us to burn coal, why did he give us so much of it in this nation? And I like to leave all the lights on so everything looks pretty. Mind you, I am off the grid. I've covered the Piper in solar panels. But Lucy said to me, why don't you invite them in? That's the way to quell
really?
It. Invite your enemy in.
Yeah.
And I looked over the portcullis and they looked filthy. Just a bunch of greenies. Some of them hadn't washed for years. And like I say to the greens, rubbing your genitals with a crystal is not personal hygiene. She said, why don't you invite them in for a Sangiovese? And I looked at them and their Daewoos and Hyundais were parked there with mud on them, covered in stickers and Tibetan prayer flags. Awful people.
You've made the right
I can't abide them. It would make me just cringe, the idea of their unwashed feet
all
on
right,
the marble in
enough.
The atrium.
That's enough of you. You've turned okay. again.
There he was, the Prime Minister, good friend of the show, Lawrence Mooney, to join us after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
11 weeks paid leave. It's not a good look for the man.
But who else
right
can do that?
Now, hello,
sorry,
Lawrence Mooney,
understand.
By the way.
Well,
yes.
I'm confused.
G'day, guys.
Who else? Imagine
hello,
if you'd said...
Just rubbed shoulders with the PM on the way out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very
how was he?
Proud of himself.
It's a bit
he always feels
how,
like
he
that.
He passed me and he said, I've just delivered some bon mots. Good on you.
Now, who else? Say you had a shocker, which you occasionally do, Jane, and you went, oh, I'm not travelling very well. I might just take 11 weeks off.
Who do you think you are, a primary
Parliament,
school teacher?
Well, Parliament City.
Former Deputy PM of Australia or what? What do you think you are?
That is just beyond the pale, I would have thought. Oh, right now, God. I think you've got to question this, man.
I'm confused by it all. I thought politicians should give interviews for free. They're our elected individuals. Yep. Remember that?
Yes,
now,
I do.
Last week I started a segment on this show.
Dear Moon Man?
Called Dear Moon Man. I've reached out to the listener.
You read out a letter to you about your mother-in-law.
No, about this poor guy's mother-in-law.
This poor guy's mother-in-law.
Wasn't that's him.
That,
wasn't
that,
him.
That poor guy's mother-in-law had left her undies over the... over the shower.
I forgot all about that. Had trouble. That's right, this guy who keeps writing to you.
Yeah, this guy's written to me again, yeah. Dear Moon Man, he writes, no, actually, it's from a woman this time. I'm a young married woman, call me Louise.
Isn't that a coincidence? My wife's name is Louise.
Yeah. Okay. She goes on to write, I have a 5-year-old daughter.
Wow.
That is weird. Coincidences. I'm a professional woman who runs a business with over 30 employees. This is exactly the same as my life. Anyway, what I'm saying is, I have a lot of responsibilities, and sometimes I feel like my husband refuses to accept responsibility for his stupid life. Harsh, Louise. Oof. My husband, let's call him Larry, is a stand-up comedian. This is
freaky. Uncanny.
This is freaky now.
Honestly. Yeah.
Larry and I have been together for 13 years, and he has told me the same lie for 13 years. When he's going out to do a gig, I always say, what time will you be home? And he says, probably around about 11, maybe a bit later. They always run over. Then he pretends that it's like a chore, rolls his eyes, like he has to force himself to go. But I've watched him get into his car whilst punching the air and screaming, woohoo, I'm free! Now, I can understand that. Men have to pretend like they're not happy to be getting away from their wives and children. That's not the bit that bothers me. Mm. It's the lie that he'll be home by midnight. He never has been and he never will. He's never been home. He never has the intention of coming home before 2 a.m.
Wow.
Well, I've got to say, Lou, as a stand-up comedian, sometimes those gigs do go late and it's networking to ensure our future. I really don't give a rat.
Job's not over when you get off stage.
Yeah. I just wish he could stop lying to himself. And it's not so much the lying, it's the stench of alcohol when he comes home. And the snoring. He's pathetic. What should I do?
All right. Well, that's a lot of lots to digest.
I'd leave him. There's only one choice there, is there?
Oh, I love the sound of that. Do you? It sounds
so exaggerated, though. I mean, as if that would ever be true.
Yeah, I know. I've got to say, if you're going to write into Dear Moon Man, enough of the hyperbole and exaggeration and enough of the lies yourself, Louise.
I can understand that. Having been a stand-up myself from time to time, it does drag on. You need one stand-up with sticky feet. Yeah. Like the bishop from the royal wedding. one of those, and you're all screwed.
Oh, yeah.
Sends the night to
Curry.
A debacle.
Yeah. Do you know my other great one, apart from the gig's running late or we'll be home late, but on occasion when you're in a relationship, is I always used to, I love overnight sport. So I'll watch on the couch and I'll be up in the morning, like 3 a.m, watching table tennis in some part of China. And
the Chinese are amazing at table tennis.
Girlfriend will come out of the bedroom and go, are you coming to bed? I go, this is for work. I commentate on sports. I'd love to come to bed, but right now I am at the office.
You're being unreasonable. Can I just leave you with my favourite table tennis anecdote?
Yes, please.
When Boris Johnson was accepting, I think, the keys to the Olympic city from the mayor of Beijing. So the mayor of one city takes the flag and the keys to the Olympics, if you like. And so he was in Beijing. And Boris Johnson, of course, he's got that straggly blonde hair. And he goes, I just want to say to the Chinese how excited we are to have the Olympics. And I want to say that in a nation famous for its table games, ping pong is coming home.
I love it. I watch it always at the big meets. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. If you want to win a gold medal in the table tennis, get there early, get the good bat. That's how you do it. Thank you.
That's very nice. That's almost a very good Matt Preston impersonation, might I just say, too.
Well, Matt Preston and Boris Johnson are very similar, except that Matt's actually got a full-time job.
Good on you, Lawrence Mooney.
Thank you, Moon Man.
Knocked it out of the park again. Thank you, mate. Long loan for the big breakfast up there.
And you can also have a look at my Malcolm Turnbull on the unofficial Mel Turnbull at Big Mel Turnbull on Facebook. Not for the faint-hearted. Fruity language.
Oh, excellent.
Adult warning.
Good on you, Lawrence. Owns Brisbane at the moment.
And I'll chat to you in the morning in Brizzy.
Okay, great.
And Matt Preston on the show tomorrow.
Wow.
Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
So I'm watching telly last night and I watched MasterChef and then I watched Shark Tank. I haven't seen it for a while.
Right, this is Channel 10. Yep. It's the pitch your ideas, become an instant millionaire. If we like your idea, we'll back it, we'll fund it.
That's You're right. away. So the first one I'm watching, and I'm all happy, I'm watching this farmer, dairy farmer. Yeah. He's got a ripping idea and we'll just have a listen to him pitch it.
I'm a Gippsland dairy farmer. I'm also the inventor, owner and manufacturer of my product here called the Rat Barry. And today I'm seeking a $200,000 investment for 25% of my business.
That's a great pitch. It's a rat barrow. What it is, it's a like a little electronic like a wheelbarrow, like that can lift things, like a little mini lifter.
Right.
And you can put hay bales. You
I'm
can
listening.
Pick up a whole bunch of stuff. It could lift you know, heavy Jeez. Stuff.
Slabs off the floor.
All that stuff.
In the fridge.
And I go, that's a pretty good idea. What a great dude. And then he says this.
Things were looking good, but unfortunately the dairy industry collapsed around our ears. We're also asked to pay back $150,000. Sorry. This moment could change my life.
So, Mick, he's like a dairy farmer and it all went bad and can we buy another cow? He needs some help.
I'll buy him a cow. He can have mine. He can have
they
my did, lawyer.
They didn't, didn't buy the rat barrow either.
Oh, they didn't?
No.
Oh. He's pulled out all the stops.
He's pulled out all the stops. It was so
Shout
going
Shout out to
so
our
well.
Dairy farmers, by the way, who are doing it hard.
And that's to Peter Bolton.
Ripped off too, by the way.
Hey, listen, if you have any money to invest in the rat barrow, you've got to get on
Was it a good idea? Did
it's
you think
ripping.
It was a good idea?
I really honestly do. They all said, all the sharks said they were going to put him onto some people with a bit of clout, but I don't know about that. Then, okay. So then I'm watching this next chick come on, Iris Smith. Can we just hear from Iris?
She sounds like an old
My name is Iris. I'm 23 years old from Perth, Western Australia, and I'm seeking $300,000 for a 10% share in my company, the Quick Flick. So the Quick Flick is a self-inked winged eyeliner stamp that is customised for each eye.
The Quick Flick.
I was going to say, Iris Smith sounds like an 80-year-old bag.
Well, she's 23-year-old hottie. I'll give you the tip.
I'll take it all back.
She
Are you wearing
up,
these right now?
I am. This is
because there's something different about you.
So what happened was she's telling the idea. It's eyeliner for women with the wings. But
right.
The wings are a stamp. You see? So you put the stamp bit at the end.
You lost me.
Now, okay, this is what happened to the sharks as well. All the men sharks are going, what? What do women put on their eyes? I'm trying to cut this with Marshy in production today. And he's going, which bit? Where do you put that on? Is that the bit that goes on your lashes? No, it's eyeliner, Marshy. Is that the bit that goes on this bit here? No, that's eyeshadow. This is eyeliner. It's very specific.
It's on the top, right?
It's on the top.
All right.
And you get this stamp out. Anyway, so Iris
what do you mean a stamp?
Sent
What's
me
a
these
stamp?
Yesterday. A stamp, you know.
Like a smiley stamp you get on your good work.
Yeah. But look, right. I'm going to show you now.
Can I have one?
No.
Oh, do it.
Why?
Do it.
All right. I'll
I want wings.
Yeah.
Or I'll give you wings.
I want to see this.
Skeleton mildly threatened.
What's it like a Red Bull ad? So here, see, it's like a stamp. And you put it like this in the corner. See how I've got my eyes flick up like that?
It's like a Sharpie.
A Sharpie? Well, it's not like a Sharpie pencil.
No, it's like a fluoro.
It's not.
Yeah, it's like a
Anyway,
what is,
she
what,
got
what,
the deal. She scored $300,000.
Good on her.
And it was for a 27.5% stake because one of the sharks really pushed it. I think we might. I just want to say.
Get her in here. We'll,
I've tested this product, the Quick Flick, for perfect wings, and it works.
Where can
and
you
it's
get
brilliant.
It?
Well, you can probably get it from All Beauties. Just going to try
you
and market it.
You got an advanced copy, have you?
I got an advanced copy. Good packaging. But isn't that funny?
You
when
could
you're
have,
just
could have
watching
used that
something.
When you stole the cover of the Weekly.
Yeah, true.
Leaving
us behind. Steal the cover of the Weekly.
That could have been the three of us, couldn't
well,
it?
Well, but this is like when you want professional. I'm going to put this on for you in the
break.
Right.
Have a go.
Okay.
I can't wait.
Works
can I?
Well.
Do you know what? The Shark Tank, is it toss up some good ideas? Is this a forum to get our listeners to ring in and tell us their $1 million idea?
It might be.
I got a couple.
Have you?
Yeah.
When do you want to share them
I'll
now?
I'll give you one right now.
All right, give
so
me one.
So this one is for, you know, the age-old argument about the toilet seat up, the toilet seat down.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest.
I know it very well,
this
trust
is a billion.
Me.
You've got how many boys in your house?
I have five men in my
How's
house.
How's their aim? This has been going on forever. This has been going on forever. What about this? Have you got one of those little bins in the corner of your office? Have you seen that pedal?
Pedal bin?
You hit the pedal, and the lid comes up.
Yeah.
What about a toilet? It has a little pedal, push pedal. So every guy comes in and goes, whoosh, up goes the lid.
Yep. How does it go down?
He takes his foot off the pedal when he's done. You never have to touch a toilet seat again in your life.
Please.
The toilet seat's up.
Don't point at me
no
when
one's
you
getting
say
hurt.
That.
Stop and demonstrate.
Well, don't have to demonstrate now.
I'll invest in that. That sounds good.
What with the chamber pot?
This is...
Right. Careful with your aim.
Is that not a good idea?
It's a pretty good
idea.
Okay,
what about this one?
Okay.
What about this one? It's like a shoulder holster. You know how they get guns in movies?
Yes.
But you put all your stuff in it, like your mobile phone. You put your mobile phone
so
in
you,
it.
So you can look like a gangster,
so
but you're not.
So guys can be really macho.
Gun.
So instead of carrying around with a man bag, which is kind of girly, you take you go to work and you take off your jacket and then you look like Starsky or Hutch something. And over your shoulder, you've got a shoulder holster that's got...
I don't mind that, actually.
And it's got your phone in it. It's
cigarettes.
Got
your wallet.
Cigarettes in it. It's got wallets. It's got all your cards that you need.
And no gun.
And no gun, but you look really hot. You can start thumping the table like you're a mismatched cop.
Because you look hot when you have a gun.
I want those invoices on my desk now. Telling you. And you look like you're interrogating someone.
Have you got any
someone?
Good ideas like Mick like
on.
That? Give us
What's
a call.
Those? They're good ideas.
They're
Are
pretty
you
good.
Sitting on a great
I'm
idea.
I'm going to go on the Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Please do.
My holster.
Give us a ring. 133353.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
The calls are coming through. People are sitting on big ideas, Mick.
Jane has watched Shark Tank. She's seen a couple of good ideas. She's got a texter pen.
It's not a texter. It's makeup. It's not a Sharpie.
You scribble on your eyes.
It's eyeliner with a stamp of a wing, so you get them perfectly. And in fact, I'm doing it now, and you guys have been blown away.
I did suggest you look great.
Thank you.
Can we texter? Can we do it on Danger's head?
No.
Can you do it all over his head?
No, I'm not going to waste my special pen.
You know he shampoos his hair? Did he tell you that?
You don't have to share
Well,
that
you've got no hair, but you shampoo. Yeah.
It's a nice feeling.
Feels good.
Do you condition?
I do.
You're bald as a badger.
Hey.
That's all right. You'll have to have the feeling.
That'd be a good one. Shampoo for bald men.
Someone might have that.
We're looking at $1 million ideas. Chad's on the line. Chad, you got one.
How are you?
Good, mate. What's your idea?
Your toilet seat that you were just saying about before.
Yeah, the push pedal.
My dad and I have sat down over 6 months. This was about 10 years ago.
What?
And where we designed it, we took it in for painting and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And we've got all the drawings and all that sort of stuff. If you want to come to the party, you can get it
you
all designed with
me?
Us.
As a shark, I want 80% of your business for $5.
I think that's
my first offer.
Sure.
We've already gone to China and seen if we can get it all built and all that sort of stuff.
Well, I want in. I'm going to sue you.
Sounds like you're too late, me.
Well, why don't I just... I'll hold it up in court for so long, you'll have to deal with me. How about that?
That's the spirit.
Yeah.
All right, Chad, good on you. Good luck to you. Just remember, call it the Royal Mickey or something, like the Royal Dalton.
Okay.
What do they call those?
Yeah,
good on you, Chad.
Dalton.
Good idea. Ben, what have you been working on?
Mate, how are you going?
Good.
I've got stackable ice cube trays.
Stackable ice cube trays.
So stackable when you fill them.
But they don't really.
If you stack one on top of another now, the edges go into the cube and it's
ice cube trays.
Yeah.
No,
so much. There's like a guttering system, is there? It's like a
How does that work, Ben? Is it a Lego?
I don't know. Lego.
Oh, so you haven't developed it?
Why don't you go on Shark Tank, Ben?
Hey, Ben, put the bong down. Stop dreaming, mate. Get involved.
Hang on.
This hasn't got past, I think, the planning stage at this point. Richard, what's your big idea, mate?
I've got two of them. I've got the Teflon toilet bowl because they'd be non-stick.
Oh, my God.
Yes. I like this. Yeah. Hey, I like the way our listeners think. So far, they're all toilet-related or drink-related.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. And what else, Richard?
And the other one was the heat-sensitive urinal, like where you've got your coffee cups, when you put the coffee in, the picture changes. But it's reverse, so when the blokes pee, they can write their name or whatever on it, and when it then self-flushes, it wipes it clean, a bit like an Etch-a-Sketch.
But why?
I love that.
Because it's fun, Jane.
Exactly. Yeah, why not?
So it's like an extra sketch, so you can write a little bit of graffiti.
Yeah, a little drawing.
And then off you go. Oh, I love it.
Really?
I'd be like Picasso.
Well, would you?
Or,
jeez.
Mark, good idea.
Can we get out of toilets, please?
What's yours?
What about live music? It's a good topic.
Yeah?
What about it?
So I've had an app built. It launches in 2 weeks on the iTunes store. It's basically connecting you with the band, so you can request songs a bit like a jukebox to live music.
I see.
You request songs for a live band to play.
So they create a page and they add all the songs they know how to play.
Yeah.
And you get on that page on the app and you can send a request and add a dedication.
They're going to play live for you.
Can I send in it? Can I ask Paul McCartney to play me Blackbird?
If he gets on the app, yeah, Amplify Live.
Okay. I'll see how he goes. All right, Mark, don't quite get it.
Very interesting.
Bit of a boffin.
Oh, no, it
sounds
sure. Good.
I can't imagine a band going, I'll play live for Mark.
He's put in a couple of songs or something.
Hey, guys, get round to my joint. We've got to get the band together. Perform live for a bloke on an app.
Don't doubt it.
I doubt that. All right. Craig, what are you up to? What are you doing? What's your big idea?
Mate, looking after Mick and yourself, getting out of bed. Yep. You know, with fitted sheets, how they ride up during the night.
Oh,
Do I ever?
Yeah. My idea is to put things like braces underneath them to keep the sheets down on the sides while you're rolling around at night.
This is a very good idea.
That is a good idea.
It's like those little things you put on your trousers when you're riding a bike.
Yeah.
Yes. Keep them in. Or like plus fours in golf, which you tuck into your socks so that they don't.
You don't have to demonstrate it for me. I know what they are.
And can those sheets be rubber, Craig? They...
I don't know.
No, they can't.
Oh, hello. What's going on here?
No.
Where are you going? All right, we done?
No, we're done.
All right.
All right, don't worry about it.
Okay.
Was there any good ideas here? I'm going to steal them all. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go
ice
paint
cube
them all.
Tray.
There
you go.
Not bad.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
All thanks to Carlton Dry. They're letting the game decides who wins prizes this State of Origin, Mick.
And to get into the spirit, and I are both having a Carlton Dry.
I am.
Right now. Bang. What a beer.
There it is.
I know what I'm talking about.
I know what I'm talking about.
This is my special topic.
Yes.
Beer.
It is your special subject.
Do you rate me? Do you respect?
I do.
Do you respect my call?
Full
in these
respect.
100%.
So this is up there in the pantheon of great beers,
great
Carlton Dry. And what's it all about? Tell me what this thing is.
There's a bonus.
Yeah. What?
Not only do you get to drink
the Carlton Dry,
if you buy a specially marked 24-pack of Carlton Dry beer,
which I'm likely to do,
and you go to letthegamedecide.com.
Well, that's a bit harder.
It's not really for any normal human being.
Yep.
Enter the code.
Yeah.
You're in the draw to win.
What's the code?
Well, that's
on the box. Yeah. You knucklehead.
What you buy the?
Oh, so you got to get the
buy
box.
The box.
Yeah.
That's what I just said.
Yeah,
buy a specially marked 24-pack.
Why don't I just buy a box of Carlton Dry? Carlton Dry.
Yeah. And then you put. The code
I get the code in.
Yes.
And I ring them up.
I hope the people at Carlton Dry roll.
Do I ring them up
like I am?
No, you go on.
You don't ring them up. You
website.
Go on the web. Have you got a computer?
Calm the.
Can you go on Safari? Do you understand that?
Jane, you're adorable.
And that's not a Safari. I know. What am I thinking?
Yeah.
Enter the code. You're in the draw to win heaps of prizes, including 3 Holden Colorados per game.
That's
There's 9 of these babies to give away.
3 per
9.
Game. Well, that's how we should all go to the game.
I agree.
In the back of a Holden Corridor.
You can get
Holden
free
Corridor,
pizza.
Like the Pope.
Ticketmaster vouchers. Movie vouchers.
Get on board.
Get into it.
Pass me the Carlton Dry.
That's Carlton Dry, official beer of the State of Origin.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
Matt Preston is on tomorrow. Right.
Hooray.
Good, great.
Love Matt.
And Todd Sampson.
Yep. Hooray.
Todd Sampson, yeah.
Hey, I'm getting some good guys in here.
Look at you. You like you own the joint.
What?
This is Jane's cover on the Weekly Review. You can see it online. There she's on. There's plenty of room for me. Look at that. You're standing there like you own the joint in some kind of, I don't know, Abu Ghraib style concrete.
I don't know what the confusion
feels
is.
Like there should be a pyramid of naked men behind you.
Why would they want you on the cover?
Because I'm a giant of the industry, Jane.
They want people to just have.
But it would have been good publicity for the show,
though.
Kennedy Malloy, here we go. Good publicity for the show.
They get on like a house on fire. You just go out and do your own thing and leave me in the engine room shoveling all the coal
if
into the furnace to keep the show up and running.
What
while
my
you
daily
swan
life
around town.
Was.
Honestly, what I put up with, listen, no wings.
If you ever go, that took 4 hours, that makeup.
Well,
oh, do you know?
You could have done with another couple of hours.
Here's my point. Why would I want to pose with you?
Because look at the headline, in fine voice. And a big, bolshy Jane Kennedy, like, get out of my way,
yeah, that's
sisters.
Me. That's me
look
all
at
over.
This. Well, I couldn't have been in the background, just like up there.
Actually, you might make it online. I think there's Instagram photos on.
All right.
Check that out at Kennedy Malloy on Instagram.
Very good article.
Matt Preston, Todd Sampson tomorrow.
Oh, Kennedy Malloy.
Now that the Kennedy Malloy podcast is over for another day, it's time to head out and buy a specially marked 24-pack of Carlton Dry. You could win a share in up to $17 million in prizes. T's and C's at letthegamedecide.com.